Welcome to episode 43 of Mancy, a podcast about magic and the messed up shit people did with it. In each set of episodes, we cover a different Mancy or method of magic. I'm RJ Walker. I'm a spoken word artist and writer. With me is my co-host, Elle.
I'm Elle Alder, a professional psychic and solitary eclectic witch.
Last week, we looked, well, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago.
Many moons ago.
Yeah.
A whole eternity ago.
It's been so long.
Many COVID cases. Not us.
Not us.
Many COVID cases have happened.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mess these last couple of weeks.
Fucking disaster. It's fine. We're doing our best. As I have told everyone who's gotten a reading for me in the last 3 weeks, I'm here now, and that's what matters.
And I had finals week and my play the exact same week, but then my play got canceled because some people in another production ended up getting COVID, and they were both vaccinated. So we had the vaccine-resistant strain going around, so they just canceled the theater festival. We quarantined, and then we just needed to fucking vacation after that,
yeah.
And you heard about that.
Yeah. So. Here we are.
Anyway, canonical episode. We looked at kitchen witchery as a neo-pagan practice and as a historical practice, specifically cultures that use food in magic and put magic in food. We explored ovomancy, which is divination with eggs, and discuss the evil eye and apotropaic magic to avert its gaze. We also discussed egg cleansing and the role eggs played in the Salem witch trials. Then we covered alluromancy, which is divination with flour. If you haven't noticed, we're going through the lists of ingredients in food rather than individual foods, really. We ended up discussing the history of fortune cookies, a Japanese-American creation. We also added some free bonus content about an incident at a play that Elle and I encountered. So there's that. There's your recap.
We should, open, a Google Voice where people can just call and confess the worst thing they've ever done and, just get it off their chest if they need to, you know?
I shit my pants on a roller coaster. Anyway. But we're not done with kitchen witchery. Heck, we're not even done with flower divination. I still want to look at... some of the other ingredients and what we can divine with a completed bread out of these ingredients. And I was going to put salt magic in here, but then I realized exactly how much there is to do with salt magic.
I'm actually just salt magic incarnate. It's me.
Yeah, so I wanted to save that for its own episode.
I think we should do a whole ass episode.
Because salt is a component in so many magical things, and there's so much superstition about salt.
Yeah, there is, yeah.
Yeah. After this episode, we're actually going to have a guest reading. Our first guest reading. Instead of Elle performing the reading, we asked the Hot Sauce Oracle of TikTok to provide Elle with some wisdom using Taco Bell hot sauce packets for divination.
So, in the process of doing Akashic Records, I have, happened upon many weird things that I've tried to explain. And I feel like in some distant future lifetime of mine, some psychic is going to be like, and there is the hot sauce oracle from a place called TikTok. Anyway, I'm just imagining my future self trying to guess that, and that seems so fake. But the reading was really fun, so there's
yeah,
that.
Yeah, so we'll be getting into that. We've also got two rituals, food rituals that we're doing to talk about in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a little more practical episode of Mancy. But all right, here we go into part two of Kitchen Witchery, magic through the consumption and preparation of food. So, before we move on from flour, I'd like to talk a little bit about alfito. Elle, are you familiar with alfito?
That's my favorite kind of pasta.
You can't eat... I know, you're gluten-free. You can't eat pasta.
The, the amount of fuckery that just was when RJ was like, what the fuck did you just say? No, I don't know what it is.
Well, let me explain. Alfito is a supernatural being first written about by Plutarch in ancient Greece.
Okay.
Originally, she was the subject of nursery rhymes. Plutarch wrote that singing her song would help children behave. It was also believed that singing the songs would divert the evil eye. And by association, Alfito herself. There's little we know about her other than the reference in the old nursery rhymes we have and Plutarch's description. But there's some speculation. It's believed that she is a vegetable spirit, which represents like growth and like the life cycle of plants.
Okay.
She is also suspected to be an aspect of Demeter or Persephone, as far as like mythology goes.
Okay.
Alfito is honestly, like the folklore of Alfito is like barely hanging on because there are so few details we have about her. Alfito's name comes from the Greek word alfita, which means white flower.
White flower.
Because she is a spirit or witch who is covered head to toe in flour.
Baking flour? Flowers.
Like baking flour.
Okay. How did they have white flour in ancient Greece? They just bleached it?
I'm pretty sure they had wheat. I don't know. White flour. I didn't research ancient Greek agricultural traditions, unfortunately.
I just thought that we got white flour because we processed the fuck out of it, and that was how it was white. So, you know what? Doesn't matter. Let's keep going. Tell me more.
So, she's like a spoopy spirit witch lady who's just like covered in flour. She just like ploofs around in her flour.
She leaves footprints of flour.
Yeah.
Okay.
On one hand, the flower represents the purity of women, milk, motherhood. But on the other hand, the whiteness represents the complexion of a corpse, a ghost, or leprosy.
Fuck.
Like the life cycle of wheat, she represents birth, but also withering.
Mm.
Bringing Alfito into your home could mean inviting disease and the gaze of the evil eye. So you sing the nursery rhyme and you help mommy in the kitchen to get on the nice side of Alfito and not like the leprosy side.
Okay. Okay.
Don't you just hate when you get on somebody's leprosy side?
Yeah, it's the fucking worst. When they didn't have it, then they just turn it on and you're like,
yeah,
oh, fuck. Like,
oh, no, you're leprosy.
It's happening.
Dang it. There is a form of divination done with barley bread called alfitomancy. There isn't much to the method, really. Like, we don't know that much about it. However, we do know there is a form of alfitomancy that was thought to have traveled from ancient Greece to Europe. The Anglo-Saxon ritual known as Corsned.
Corsned.
C-O-R-S-N-E-D.
Corsned.
Corsned.
Okay.
I bet there's an Anglo-Saxon way to pronounce this.
Probably.
But it's also called the sacred morsel.
Oh.
We've mentioned trials by ordeal before. The trial by fire, the trial by water. Well, the course, Ned, is trial by bread.
Okay. Oh, is this why it's supposed to be hard to eat?
That's why I've got this loaf of bread right here right now. If someone was accused of a crime, or specifically if they were accused of sinning, they would be offered several trials by ordeal, depending on the crime and the severity.
Okay.
I would probably pick this one, honestly. Like, the trial by fire is, like, not good. Like,
really
the one
scary.
Where you gotta, like, reach into the boiling pot and have your hand be unburned. Like, no. Trial by combat, also, like, kind of a gamble. This one seems, like, fairly easy. Essentially, you'd be given a hunk of cheese and a chunk of barley bread weighed out to exactly 10 ounces. The bread and cheese would be consecrated and exorcised of any evil. Then the accused would eat the sacred bread and cheese. If the person was guilty, they would suffer convulsions or vomit. if they...
Well, we know RJ's history of vomiting on the show, so here we go.
If they choked or coughed or regurgitated anything, they would be found guilty. If the person was innocent and pure of heart, they could eat the barley bread and swallow it without issue.
Are you ready? I forgot this is what you were doing. I was like, what do we need the bread for again? But yeah, now I, yeah.
So I got some barley bread right here for the ritual.
Okay.
Here are the exact ritual details. And I want to talk about, so I was originally going to go to Great Harvest, which is like a bakery chain
I think it's just Utah. A Utah chain, right?
Yeah. And, you know, I used to go there as a kid all the time because they would just give you a free slice of bread and you could just like
And their bread's
slap.
Really good.
I know, their bread does slap. And then you could put so much freaking like home churned butter on it. It was
yeah.
great. Yeah, they stopped doing that. So I went into Great Harvest and they wouldn't give me my free slice.
When?
Today. When I got this bread. And then I was like, oh, that's okay. You know, it's pandemic times, we have to be understanding. Do you have any barley bread? And this like teenager who was working the counter was like, what's barley bread? And I was like, well, it's bread and one of the ingredients is barley. And she was like, I don't think we have that. And I was like, okay.
Okie doke.
Well, do you have any like multigrain breads? Because a lot of those include barley as one of the grains. And she was like, I don't know. And I was like, okay, I will just shop around then. So I started walking around the bakery and I find one called like the Dakota blend that had barley in it. And I was like, I'll take a loaf of one of these. And it used to be back in the day.
Because we're old as fuck.
You could ask them to slice an exact amount of the bread. Be like, I want half a loaf or a quarter loaf sliced into, you know,
10 slices yeah,
right?
Whatever.
And they'd like get their slicing machine. Yeah, I was like, I need exactly 10 ounces of this. And she was like, is that a loaf? And I was like, no, it's probably just under a half a loaf, but measured to 10 ounces. And then you can slice it and then measure it. And when you get close to 10 ounces, I'll buy that. And then I guess you can round it up or I'll buy the whole loaf and all
like,
the sliced
it,
off
yeah.
pieces. And she was like, oh, we don't do that. And I'm like, your bread slicer is right there and the scale is right there.
How can you tell me that you're not going to do the things you were equipped to do?
Yeah. And she was like, yeah, we don't do that. And I was like, oh, okay. I will go to Harmon's across the street where they pay the employees more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
So I went to the Harmon's bakery where they
be nice to the people who did show up. I mean, I guess at least she showed up, but like maybe it would have been better if she hadn't though.
Well, you know, I don't hate on these service workers. Like she's just a teenager that's like trying to like make enough money to get by in our garbage economy. And I'm just over here trying to do weird magic and she doesn't understand that I'm doing an ancient Anglo-Saxon trial
fucking
by
ritual.
Bread.
She doesn't determine the worthiness of your soul. Maybe
she
if you told
give a shit.
Her.
I did. I tried.
For...
I was like, hey, I'm trying to. Sorry, this is for my history podcast. I know this is weird. I just need these things. And she was like, yeah, we don't do that here. Maybe
but
try
like,
it.
But you do, though.
She literally said, try a different Great Harvest.
You know what? This bitch is not allowed to touch the slicer. It's her. She's not allowed to do it.
No, it's fine. It's fine. And I was like, okay. So I just went to
Harmon's. No, I mean, it is fine. But I'm just saying it's her fault. No, it's because she probably cut herself on it. And they won't let her
and
use it anymore.
She's banned
yeah,
from
no,
the slicer.
For real. She's probably like, I can't do that. I'm sure people have done that, but
and it,
not me.
I mean, this is definitely one. They definitely had the like now hiring sign. They definitely were like understaffed
yeah.
or had underqualified staff that don't know anything
obviously.
About baking or bread. So I went over to Harmon's across the street where they make like $17 an hour in the bakery, which is like pretty respectable Holiday. So
I don't even know.
We're going to have to go back to Holiday because it's a whole new planet now. It's like bougie Sugar House.
It is.
It's
yeah.
Sugar House, but somehow whiter.
It's because they got that our favorite Thai fusion restaurant. That was the beginning
of
the gentrification.
It's not even in.
Not there, really?
No, it's in the deep. Do you know where the Soho food? There's like a food truck pod place. It's like Portland.
Yeah,
there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's like that area.
I think, you know what? We're talking about a lot of stuff that probably no one on this podcast cares about. Yes, we have the singing bowl back. We forgot. Anyway,
so I go across the street to Harmon's. And I'm like, hey, this is a weird ask. I'm doing something for my history podcast. I'm doing an Anglo-Saxon purity ritual trial by bread. Do you have barley bread? And she was like, I don't know. We have this multigrain bread, though. We have this 7-grain that probably has barley in it. And she looked at the ingredients and she was like, yeah, it's got barley in it. And I'm like, okay, I need exactly 10 ounces. And she was like, that's really specific. I was like, yes. I know, but can you cut it to exactly 10 ounces? And she was like, yeah, no problem. And she cut it and she was like, it's 10, like 0.07 ounces. Is that good enough? And I'm like, yes, fine. That's... I just want this bread debacle to be over
great.
With.
Great, yeah.
And then I picked up my hunk of cheese, which is Pitchfork Cheddar from Neil's Yard Dairy in England. And it's just like hard cheese that I'm quite positive freaking peasants, Anglo-Saxon peasants ate.
Did you not silence your phone?
Oh my god, it's fucking Willie. Hey Willie, you caught me while I was recording. You're on the podcast right now.
Oh, you were supposed to be in the Zoom room for the training for the coaches. I even sent up follow-up emails.
Well, I guess we're doing that.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Is that possible or no?
I'm gonna pop in.
Yeah.
Okay, love you.
Love, bye.
Well, my life is still totally chaotic. I apparently had a meeting. And they were like, where the heck are you? Anyway, I've got my loaf of barley bread.
Are you just going to eat this?
I got my cheese. No.
Do we have a challenge question
I'm
going to
do the whole ritual.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to do the whole ritual, and you can see if I'm like... a liar, or if my soul is impure, or whatever, by doing the trial by bread, the sacred morsel. All right. So here's how the ritual goes. Got the barley, got the cheese. Here's the exact ritual details. A priest would write the Lord's Prayer on the bread. Doesn't say how. I believe he just traces it with his finger. Technically, I am a priest.
I am too, yeah.
Well, I was ordained in the church in the Mormon church.
Oh, in the Mormon
church?
I'm Universal Life Church, so. Yeah. I didn't know you had your priesthood.
Oh, you get your priesthood at like 12.
Yeah. Well, because obviously you're a prophet of God at 12, but fuck the women, am
well,
I right?
Well, no, you're a deacon at 12.
Okay.
And then you go up getting more priesthood keys as you get older. And then by the time you go on a mission, that's
you're
when you...
full, because you can do baptisms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So technically, I am a priest. And then the bread is weighed out 10 pennyweights. And, you know, the cheese is also, like, included, but not – you don't have to weigh the cheese. It's just a block of cheese, I guess. It didn't say. Under the right foot of the accused is a cross. You have to do a cross. Holding another cross over the man's head is another thing you have to do. Or you can throw it over his head. Or you can draw a cross on a tablet and throw that over his head.
Mm-hmm.
He then places the bread and cheese in the mouth of the accused at the same moment. And on doing so, recites the conjuration. Here are the words. Let me prepare the bread.
We couldn't have possibly taken all the time in the hour that you were in that meeting to unwrap the bread. Couldn't happen. We got to do
I didn't want crumbs.
Oh, okay. That's fair. Yeah, that's fair.
I wanted this to be precise. Okay, I've got the bread. I pre-traced the Lord's Prayer on it with my finger.
Did you?
Yeah, I just like did the first letter of each word of the prayer.
Okay.
Elle, do you have a pen and a paper?
I do.
Okay. Draw for me a cross on the paper. That's going to go under my foot. And then you're going to throw another cross over my head while I eat this bread.
Can I crumple it up? This is your foot cross.
It's my foot cross. And this goes under my right foot.
I was like, is there something special I have to do for a cross or... This is the cross, the jumbled cross. Okay. So while you eat this, I just yeet it over your head at a certain point, like when you start?
Yeah, well, you've got to read the conjuration.
Oh, I do?
While I eat it.
Are you going to turn it around? So I
yeah,
can
I'm
going to
turn
it?
The laptop around. And then at some point, you throw it over my head.
I'll just feel when we've hit that point.
It's the part that starts with...
I conjure thee, oh man.
Yeah, that's the one. Let me get this cheese out of the plastic.
I want you to know I don't... You know how some people have, like, issues saying, like, satanic shit?
Yeah.
I feel that way about Christian shit, so...
Well, it's pseudo-Christian, so if that makes you feel
Our
better.
Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to note I have no Lord. I am a sovereign being.
That's fine. These are just the magic words. what am I accused of?
I don't know. I thought...
We can just find out if my soul is pure.
Yeah, we'll just find out if you're... We still don't have a garbage can in here. What if you throw up?
You know, then I will live with the consequence. I'll throw up into my shirt. How about that?
He's wearing a Let's Summon Demons shirt today.
I always wear this on Mancy days, usually.
Well, no, or your Mancy shirt.
Yeah. Okay, are you ready?
Yep. So okay. I just start reading it?
Yep.
I conjure thee, O man, by the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost and by the 24 elders who daily sound praises before God, and by the 12 patriarchs, the 12 prophets, the 12 apostles, the evangelists, martyrs, confessors, and virgins, by all the saints, and by our Redeemer, our Lord, Jesus Christ.
There's a lot of bread.
Salvation and for our sins did suffer his hands to be affixed to the cross, that if thou wast a partner in this theft, or didst know if any, or hadst any fault, that bread and cheese may not pass thy gullet and thy throat,
but some that, of it's already passed
that
my gullet.
Thou mayest tremble like an aspen leaf. Amen. And do not have rest, O man, until thou dost vomit it forth with blood, if thou hast committed aught in the matter of the aforesaid theft, through him who liveth. Yeet.
There's some sharp cheese.
I bet it is. It's really, like, hard. It's very hard.
Anyway, I'm not joking.
How's your bread? Is it good? It looks good.
It's high-quality bread.
It's
I wasn't
going
to do this with low-quality bread.
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, I feel like OG barley bread probably would have been difficult. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Yeah. OG barley bread probably would have been denser.
Like,
but
I think
probably
about, like,
would
tack.
Have been, or probably would have been less of it, you know?
Yeah, probably because it would have been
denser, so it would have weighed more.
This is a lot of bread.
It's like a whole ass loaf.
Like a half of, yeah. It's like an entire bread bowl, but without it being poured out.
I would say it's a little bit more than a bread bowl.
Are we just going to sit here listening to you eat this?
No, is that the whole ritual?
Yeah. I mean, well, that was the...
I'm just going to be eating it during the show.
I was just going to read now. I was just going to do your script.
Oh.
If you wanted me to.
I got it.
RJ's like, no, that's mine.
So, they'd also do an exorcism of the bread. Reciting, oh, there's another ritual. You've got to exorcise my bread.
I have to exorcise your bread?
Yeah, you have to exorcise my bread and cheese while I eat it.
Oh, okay.
It's just this next paragraph.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Holy Father, omnipotent, eternal God, maker of all things visible and of all things spiritual, who dost look into the secret places and dost know all things, who dost search the hearts of men and dost rule as God, I pray thee, hear the words of my prayer, that whoever has committed or carried out or consented to that theft, that bread and cheese may not pass through his throat.
This is actually, like, it pairs really well with the cheese.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I exorcise thee, most unclean dragon, ancient serpent, dark knight, by the word of truth and the light of God, by our Lord Jesus Christ, the Immaculate Lamb, generated by the Most High, conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, whose coming Gabriel, the Archangel, did announce, whom seeing, John did call out, this is the living and the true Son of God, that in no wise mayest thou permit that man to eat this bread and cheese who has committed this theft or consent
I'm fucking with you.
to it or advised it, adjured by him who is to come to judge the quick and the dead. So thou close his throat with a band, not, however, unto death.
Oh, so don't kill me, but like, make me not eat this bread.
So then the rest of this says, and now I eat the bread. Let's see if I fail the test. Are you failing? Are you doing good?
No, I'm doing good.
Apparently, I would fail because I'm allergic to gluten.
Yeah.
So he ate the bread.
I'm eating the bread.
Are you of pure soul? Are you enjoying yourself?
So far, I haven't eaten all the bread, but so far, you know, the...
You're doing pretty good.
The exorcism didn't get me.
It's very crumbly bread.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to go see if we can find another vacuum for this bread.
You know, I really feel like a peasant eating this. Honestly, just like ripping into the bread like an animal.
Yeah.
Hopefully, eating and talking won't make me fail.
I feel like you should let me do the rest of the script while you eat, and then you can just react to it.
We got it.
We're going to have to put a warning on this for food sounds.
Yeah. I mean, there was a warning on the last one for food sounds because of the fortune cookies.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. So, I'll just be munching. Let's talk about another mythological kitchen witch.
What?
Just as the Corsned ritual is a form of alphidomancy, since its flower is involved, that is suspected to be carried over from the ancient Greeks, another Anglo-Saxon tradition might also be a carryover, and that is the legend of the Corn Mother.
I feel like we should pause the bread ritual.
No, this is food magic. We're doing it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
The Corn Mother. What do you think the Corn Mother is, Elle?
I think that she is a spirit made out of a corn husk doll who is, like, very large.
So you know.
Who bless... No, I don't know. This is just my guess. Oh, you're
fly enough to see to your
yeah,
pants.
Yeah, this is just what I would think that she would be.
I'm in the doughy part of bread now.
Is it good?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
I'm honestly a little bit sad I'm not eating that.
You can have the oats that have fallen off the top.
You can just, like, eat it with my mouth, just straight off like a bird.
I'm really sad that I can't eat it with anything but this one hunk of cheese.
So, do you want a confession? I think I accidentally glutened myself today. I don't know if I accidentally glutened myself.
What?
Yeah, I went to lunch with a friend, and we went and had sushi, and I was like, hey, can I get the gluten-free soy sauce? Because soy sauce has wheat in it. And the guy was like, yeah. It was like this kid, and he brought back the low-sodium gluten, or like the low-sodium soy sauce, and my friend was like, is that the gluten-free or the low-sodium? And he was like, the low-sodium's gluten-free. And I was like, I don't know if I believe this, but I'm going to need some soy sauce, so I just ate it anyway.
It seems sketchy.
It was sketchy. I don't think I believe the kid. I had to take like a migraine pill.
Mm.
And so, you know, anyway, I already glutened myself today.
Gluten disrupts your psychic powers.
It does. Actually, it does. It means I can't work because I get a migraine.
Yeah. Anyway, the Corn Mother, you're actually pretty close. So.
I can't handle you mentioning.
The bit, though. It's for the bit. It, like, sounds really ominous. Like... Like, oh, the Corn Mother. Make way for the Corn Mother.
No, it's you.
All hail the Corn Mother.
Like, munching away. And if this were me, if I were doing this, RJ would be like, okay, we'll just wait. We'll just wait until you're done with that.
No, this is the bit. Anyway, the Corn Mother is actually pretty benevolent. Corn Mother is good.
I would think so, yeah.
Yeah, even though it sounds like Children of the Corn.
No, I think Corn Mother sounds like someone who would, like, bless people. And, like, corn has been a staple food in a lot of populations, a lot of cultures for a long time because it's, like, a pretty hearty grain that you can use for a lot of different things. So I would think that someone who's over corn would be over, like, nutrients and making sure that the crops are okay.
Something like that. Anyway, folklorist James George Frazier described the Corn Mother tradition thusly. In the neighborhood of Danzig, there is a person who cuts the last ears of corn and makes them into a doll, which is called the Corn Mother, or the Old Woman, and is brought home on the last wagon. In some parts of Holstein, the last sheaf is dressed in women's clothes and called the Corn Mother. So, like, the last corn that they cut down, like, the last, like, corn that they husk,
mm-hmm.
they turn the corn husk...
Into a doll.
Into a Corn Mother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's always on the last wagon of the harvest.
Aww, and she watches over everything?
Well, it's like the husk is like thoroughly drenched in water to make it a sort of rain charm.
Oh, yeah.
In the district of Bruck in Styria,
we're just trying to eat corn. This bread in like huge bites. Like, he just had so much bread in his mouth.
It is a similar ritual, but they make the doll in the shape of a woman. And the person who does this is the oldest married woman in the village.
Okay.
So if you're an old maid, they don't let you make the corn mother. Usually she's 50 to 55. The finest ears of corn are plucked out and made into a wreath, which are entwined with flowers. And that's carried on the head of the prettiest girl in the village. I don't know who gets to decide that, some creepy elder.
It's the one who survives drinking the mushroom tea and doesn't fall while she's dancing. Obviously.
That's a Midsommar reference.
That's a Midsommar reference, yeah.
Anyway, the corn mother is placed in a barn to keep mice out of their stores. In other villages, the same district of corn mother is
your
carried
cross
by...
is not under your foot. Put your foot on that cross right
Sorry.
Now. God.
In other districts, this is why I've been able to eat the bread. In other districts, it's carried by two lads on the top of a pole.
Oh.
And they march behind a girl who wears the wreath crown, the pretty girl. And they hang up the wreath on the walls, and the corn mother is placed on top of a wood pile where she is the center of the harvest supper dance.
Mm-hmm.
So we, like, yeehaw, have a hoedown around the corn mother.
Okay.
Then they would plow the corn mother back into the field before they planted the next crop to ensure a good harvest.
Oh, okay.
They'd be like, back into the ground, corn mother.
Yeah.
We need more corn. Get to work.
Well, yeah, she got to rest for, you know, that time, and then she goes back and they re-imbue the earth with all the magic that they gave her. That makes sense. I like that.
And this is similar to a Scandinavian tradition called the Kitchen Witch.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Kitchen Witch is a poppet. It's like a stuffed doll that you make.
Okay.
And you put it in the kitchen. And kitchen witches bless cooks with good magic.
Okay.
Preventing accidents and making food taste better.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. People still decorate their kitchens with kitchen witches today.
Yeah, cute. We should get one. We should get one for you in burning food, and then she will remind you. Do we have one and her name is just Alexa or Google?
Google is our kitchen witch.
Yeah.
The timer is the kitchen witch.
Yeah. She prevents you from burning food.
Okay. But, like, one time when I was freshly not Mormon and I was living alone, I was like, I need to make tea because the church said I can't make tea.
And I'm going to be a fucking rebel and make some goddamn
tea. They lied to me about tea and I'm going to make some. And I never made tea or had tea before. And I was like, you know, like 19, 20.
Yeah.
And the instructions, I was like, how do you make this? It just leaves. So I read the instructions, and the instructions were like, hey, you got to put this in boiling water, in hot water.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, that's it? That's all the instructions? And the instructors were like, yeah.
You asked them, and they were like, yeah, absolutely.
It's just the one step, just put in hot water. And I'm like, okay, that's easy. So I get a pan, and I put some water in it, and then I turn it, put it on the stovetop.
Uh-huh.
And then I wait for it to boil.
Uh-huh.
And then I put the tea bag in the pan.
How big of a pan was it? Was it a pot or was it a pan?
It was a saucepan.
It was a saucepan. How much water did you put in it?
I don't know. I measured it with my soul.
I know, but like, how full was the pot?
It was pretty full. I would say maybe there's like a mug and a half worth.
Okay, so like 3/4 of the way full.
Yeah, and I was like, how long do I keep the tea bag in the boiling water? I had the heat still
on.
How
does it not tell you that how long to steep it for?
It was like steep 3 minutes, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
Oh, no.
So I guess.
You didn't look it up? You weren't like, what is steeping?
No.
Step one, Google.
I didn't have internet.
What is steeping?
I was fresh out of being homeless.
Yeah, this is when, like, even you wouldn't have had, like, a phone. Like, most people now can have, like, a $20 smartphone with some internet on it or something.
Yeah, so.
And this was, when that wouldn't have been a thing.
So I'm like, okay, and I go upstairs and I play video games on the used
video games
PS3 that I got at a pawn shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, I totally forget about it when I hear the smoke alarm going off. And I'm like, oh, no. All the water boiled out of the pot, and the tea bag literally lit on fire. There's a flaming tea bag in this pot.
What did you do?
Turned the stove off and
killed it.
Dumped water on it.
And drank your tea.
No, I didn't. No, I did not. I'm like, this is God punishing me.
for making tea.
And then I hated myself for weeks.
Anyway, oh, really?
That's my story.
You just didn't know what steeping meant. That's it.
Maybe this bread is making me admit dark.
Maybe
truths.
Yeah, you're confessing. I feel like you've been confessing a lot of secrets lately. Are you just going through it, just getting some things off your chest?
I'm always going through it.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
You haven't even had all of your cheese.
Oh, I gotta eat more cheese. You're right.
Well, I just would say that the bread was palatable.
I've almost eaten
this bread. Has about like two bites left.
Two big bites.
Yeah, two big bites, which is crazy. This is a lot of bread to eat. I could not physically eat this much bread.
We could probably pick up a kitchen witch at like the Quilted Bear or some chuggy freaking
I thought you meant like a human that is a witch that does kitchen witchcraft. And I was like, yeah, let's just go grab one of those.
Just some poppet, some like.
Yeah, we should. Go get a like, cute little one.
White woman made after her.
What if I make one?
MLM collapsed.
So she put a fuck ton of doTERRA oils in
it. Yeah, it's like you can dump essential oils on this.
Sorry, that's probably a mean joke. I know we have listeners that like sell doTERRA, but. You got to do something with them, right?
Yeah. Also, like, doTERRA might victimize you, just so you know.
Yeah, be really careful with doTERRA.
Anyway, be careful with multi-level marketing in general.
Yeah.
Anyway, kitchen witches. Now that we've talked about food and magic history, let's do some modern kitchen witchery. Last night we cooked Maybon Bourbon Apple Crisp.
Yeah.
From a kitchen witchery recipe I found
really
online.
It was really good.
And I'm going to go over the magical properties of the ingredients. I don't know. Listeners can develop their own opinion, but I think the magic failed. Anyway, here's the ingredients and what their magic is. All right, so first magical ingredient. Oh, hold on. I got to refresh my page so I can read what this author wrote. And I got this from a website called Moody Moons.
Moody Moons.
Yeah, so according to Moody Moons, which is like, I think this is like the when people say kitchen witchery, I think they're thinking of like this thing, this stuff that we do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, apples are, they symbolize temptation. Because the Bible, I guess? I don't know.
Yeah. I've been thinking a lot. I had a client who, like, left a review on my Etsy that said that I work with Yahweh's angels and, like, that was fine, but that it didn't really resonate with her. And then she was like, 5 stars for the effort. And I just feel like most witchcraft, if you live in, like, the Western world, is based in Christianity because our entire world is fucking based in Christianity. So... You know, just the lens, y'all. Just understand that people might not work with those angels or necessarily believe in it, but there might be the lens of that existing.
I'm completing the bread. I'm working on the cheese now.
I don't think you have to eat all the cheese because it's more than 10 ounces.
You have to eat the cheese.
I just was noting that you ate the bread because you didn't need the cheese because the bread was so good that it, like, was easier to eat.
Well, it pairs well, but I wanted to be careful not to, like, overdo it, you know?
Yeah.
Apples also symbolize lust and sensual pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you mentioned that love spells usually have apples. Before our Maybon Bourbon Apple Crisp, this jewel-toned fruit stars as a symbol of abundance, a key theme during harvest festivals. So this is for Maybon's, like a pre-Samhain festival. I don't know. What do you know about Maybon?
I think so. I think Mabon is the final harvest. So it's what happens like right before. So Samhain is when the worlds are the thinnest, and that's when we start going into the dark days of the year. And Mabon is like the end. It's not the end of summer. It's the end of the fall, or like the beginning of fall, and it's the final harvest.
Okay.
Yeah?
Dope. So Mabon is when I watch Over the Garden Wall on repeat. Next ingredient, bourbon. And I added a little extra bourbon to this apple crisp. So bourbon is a drink for blessing friendship.
Mm.
It's also a drink for mourning death.
Mm-hmm.
A prelude to the coming Samhain festival. You do the bourbon, the burbs. Oats. Also in there. Oats symbolize healing, abundance, nourishment, and inner warmth. And they're including the apple crisp as a kind of metaphysical glue that binds family and close friendships together in unity. Cinnamon represents spirituality, purification, and meditative awareness. To bless your meal with a deep, nourishing warmth of motherly love and grace.
Aww.
So, the purpose of this apple crisp is to bring friends and family together.
What is the metaphysical property of gluten-free pancake mix?
That wasn't listed as one of the magic ingredients, actually.
I just was wondering.
Hey, L.
Hey, RJ.
I completed the test.
Is your fucking foot on the cross? It was. Yeah. Yeah, you have a pure soul.
I have a pure soul.
Even though you made tea 10 years ago, your soul is pure today.
Fuck you, trial by bread. Fuck you, Anglo-Saxon
fucking
rituals.
Killed it. Spike that shit into the ground.
Boom. Anyway, we're going to cut to us making this apple, well, me making and trying this apple crisp in our kitchen at home. Okay, we're live in our kitchen where I just did a kitchen witchery spell. I know nothing about it. I'm bad at baking. But I baked this apple bourbon Mabon crisp. And we didn't have some of the ingredients. We didn't have pumpkin spice. And you just can't get pumpkin spice after the 4th of July. Everybody knows that. God damn it. Okay, Spectre, you're banned. My cat was after the apple crisp, so I had to put him in my room anyway.
I already said, so RJ, like, put my dog in his room and was like, you're banned. And I was like, Spectre is also banned. And RJ ignored me, and then Spectre immediately got himself re-banned. So I just wanted to note that my dog was treated unfairly when both pets...
Your dog sucked. Acts unfairly, all right? Your dog lives in the world he created for himself. Anyway, Elle is gluten-free, and I thought this was a gluten-free recipe, but then when I looked, there was like a small amount of all-purpose flour. So I substituted the gluten-free pancake mix we had. And I don't know if the pancake mix got evenly distributed. I probably should have mixed that better because one side is like fluffy cakey and the other side is like goobery. The other thing, without the pumpkin spice, I did a sprig of vanilla. I did a sprig of cocoa powder. And I did a sprig of chai. Chai concentrate.
Okay.
So I think adding those wet ingredients assisted with the gooberiness.
It probably did.
You're going to have to project into the microphone if you want to be heard.
I just wanted to, like, slightly clean up the kitchen, and I was not allowed to, so, sorry.
What do you mean you weren't allowed to? You just did.
Well, okay.
All right, are we ready to try my Goobery magic?
I want you guys to know that this shit looks wild. It looks wild. I'm going to take a picture. I'm going to put it on the Instagram because, wow, does this look like
it's something. Smells delicious.
How many apples did the recipe call for?
So it said 4.
How many did you put in there?
Granny Smith apples.
Oh. Do you know why Granny Smith?
Well, it also said Pink Lady apples were fine.
Okay.
Why Granny Smith, L? Enlighten me.
Because they're tart, and when you have something really sweet, the tart cuts that. It's not a magical thing, it's just a flavor thing.
Well, I use the apples we got from Imperfect Foods.
Yeah, don't waste food.
And they were particularly small.
And it was only 2 of them?
No, there was 5.
Oh, okay.
So instead of 4, like, grocery store-sized Granny Smiths, I did 5 of whatever the fuck those apples were. I think they were Macintosh, maybe Pink Ladies, I don't know.
I have no idea.
I think they were Macintosh apples.
Yeah.
But I, yeah. So,
it just looks really small. Did you take a picture?
Yeah.
Okay. I want, like, not apples.
Which corner? I will let you serve yourself. How about that?
Okay.
I mean, all the ingredients in this thing are all delicious on their own. I think that's the trick. Where you could just eat brown sugar and be like, yeah, that was good. You could just, like, eat an apple. You can do, like, oats. You know? Like, all these things are things you can just, like, eat on their own. And they're combined. Oh, Elle did the teeniest, tiniest little fucking turd of apple crisp.
I don't even know how to describe the texture that's going on here.
Fortunately, we had bourbon. It's a little syrupy. Maybe I added too much bourbon.
RJ also doesn't measure anything.
I use measuring cups.
I know, I just put them in the dishwasher.
But I measured the bourbon with my soul.
Oh, as one should. Okay.
I think that's pretty good.
Yeah. Is it magic? Are you feeling magified? The other thing is, RJ doesn't do the magic, but...
I know this is Elle's job, but Elle was like, oh, I'm tired.
I am tired, bro. Mm.
I can taste my secret sauce. That I
added. So I was like, RJ, what spell are you doing right now? Because once upon a time, I told RJ that the first place I ever read at... had a bunch of witches, and one time they were like having a conversation and someone was like, I want to do a love spell. And they were like, don't do a love spell, bake them an apple pie, because every ingredient you need for a love spell will be in the apple pie, but then you'll make it for them and then they'll fall in love with you. I told RJ this and he's like, I'm making an apple crisp. And I was like, are you doing a love spell? And he was like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't really read that much beforehand.
It was a warming of hearth and home.
Yeah,
this is
like a warm, like, bring everybody in the home together kind of deal. I think for the love spell, you need honey. So the honeyed apple is a love spell.
Oh, what I was saying is then RJ said, sorry. I got lost. I came back.
I want more apple crisp. You know what? It was fucking good.
It was pretty good.
It's like the most delicious oatmeal.
It really is. This could be breakfast. But RJ was like, I'm going to put my secret sauce in this. And I was like, are you making a love spell and telling me you're putting your secret sauce in it? Because that's real in magic. So that's concerning.
You thought I ejaculated into the apple crisp?
I mean, it sounded like you were implying it.
No.
What were your secret sauce?
A sprinkle of coffee grounds.
Oh. Yeah.
For legal reasons, I cannot tell you what secret sauce Elle added.
Yeah.
But Elle also added a secret sauce.
Mm-hmm. I did. This is really good.
We'll go with John for an impartial opinion.
Yeah, I will.
Our roommate John has rejected my apple crisp because I am not magic, I will never be magic, and how dare I insult the institution of magic by making whatever I made.
Yeah.
Actually, they just wanted to take a shower. But still, this is how I feel on the inside. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Elle, do you think successful spell? I think unsuccessful spell.
Why?
Because John will not eat the apple crisp, and the spell is to bring everybody together. If the spell actually worked, John would be eating this apple crisp with us.
I guess that's probably true.
Yeah.
But maybe the spell doesn't work until after you eat it. Like, maybe once John eats it, then we'll all hang out and have togetherness. We don't know. I feel like we have incomplete data.
Yeah, well, I think you just kind of like to hold out hope for conclusions until you get the one you want.
Yeah, it's called being a psychic. I'll wait, because I know something's going to happen. I'll just wait and wait. It's fine.
All right, well, I'm going to insert this audio into the middle of the podcast. Also, I need to go to Great Harvest tomorrow and pick up some barley bread.
Do they have it?
If anywhere in this fucking valley has barley bread.
Barley bread.
It's either going to be the Lion House, the Mormon Bakery, or Great Harvest.
Which is also the Mormon Bakery.
But not officially. Not owned by the church.
Will you find me gluten-free bread while you're there?
I will attempt to.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm going to talk about Great Harvest a lot. Anyway, future RJ, be sure to mention the free slices that you used to get after school from Great Harvest that had just pounds of butter on them.
Uh-oh, food got, like, noises.
Stomach noises. As long as I don't start having convulsions.
Then we'll know, yeah.
All right. So I hope you enjoyed that apple crisp. My opinion, the magic failed.
I thought it was really good. I mean,
it being delicious doesn't mean it's magic.
John made you a whole ass charcuterie board last night, like after they had the apple crisp.
It wasn't a spell to get John to make me a charcuterie board. It was a spell to
bring
us together.
But they did it, though.
It was a spell to bring us.
We watched anime.
We did.
But we did.
A member of our household did not.
But we had peace with the pets. Rocco and Spectre were both in the basement with us last night, just fine.
They were still goobery, though. Like, they wouldn't fuck it. They kept, like, staring at each other and, like, meh, grumpy, jumpy, grumpy.
One of them, like, sneaking towards the other. The other one staying there and then sneaking away. Yeah, but we chilled.
You know, I just don't think it worked. Maybe it's because magic is your job on the show.
Well, did you imbue it with magic while you made it? Or are you just like...
What am I supposed to do? Like, wiggle my fingers and go boogity boogity and be magic?
You put magic in it.
I followed the instructions and added the magic ingredients.
Did you charge it?
With what? Like
magic!
Like the spirit bomb? Like, everyone, lend me your energy. What's the problem? I don't know.
You just do a little magic-y magic. You just do the magic.
Oh, yeah, you just do magic. I didn't know it was a function of the autonomic nervous system.
I mean, you have to charge it.
How do you charge apple crisp?
Hold it in your hands or hold the ingredients in your hands and just put the energy into it? Well, it doesn't fucking work retroactively.
Oh, yeah. Well, anyway, the magic. I failed at kitchen witchery. I'm sorry, Patreon subscriber, that I failed you.
If you are a patron, maybe RJ will make you a really interesting looking apple crisp that he did not make magically but does have magic ingredients in it.
Maybe I'll send you an applejack and I'll actually charge it. A single applejack. Charged with magic.
Can you just put a stamp on it like a potato?
This is a magic applejack.
Don't lose it. Don't crush it. Don't eat it. And then, you know, the listener with like the two-year-old, it's like Applejack, and then they're just full of sadness.
Yeah, they're full of demons.
Because that's what RJ's magic is.
And now it's finally time for our guest reading. Sorry, I'm so full of bread.
That's a lot of bread.
This is the first guest reading in Mancy history. This reading is from the Hot Sauce Oracle on TikTok. Oh, so much bread. Easily my favorite TikTok psychic. She uses a drawer full of Taco Bell hot sauce packets. If you've been to Taco Bell recently, you'd know that each packet has like a short little aphorism on it, like chase your dreams or get fired up or don't let anyone stop you. Just like stuff like that. Another component of the reading is the spice level. So if it's like Diablo, fire, or like mild, that's going to affect the strength of the reading or the intensity of the choice. And also if it, the hot sauce packet, when it's drawn out, if it's in upright or inverted position when she pulls it out of the drawer. That's a fabulous fusion of claromancy, which is divination by drawing lots, and kitchen witchery and food magic. Elle had a question for her. And she answered it on TikTok. And I'm going to put the audio in after this. Elle, your question was?
If I should look at getting a manager for my psychic readings.
Okay, this is for Elle at Mancy Podcast. Elle is a professional psychic. So, Jesus, my phone. Elle is a professional psychic, so no fucking pressure. But she wants to know if she should get an agent for her psychic work. Not sitting this one out, fire in the upright position. Yeah. I'd say. I mean, seems like that can only help you, you know, move forward with what you gotta do. Not sitting this one out, seems like there's a control aspect, maybe? I don't know if that's like, you don't want to give all of that to somebody else or something. I don't know. So keep an eye on that. But otherwise, yeah, seems pretty good.
So check her out on TikTok. She also makes glass products, and you can find her on Instagram. You can find her glass work at sign Zeilman Glass, Zeilmanglass, which is also her Etsy. Her handle on TikTok is Slogdobber, Slogdobber. Thanks for being our first guest psychic.
Yeah, Hot Sauce Oracle. Oh,
great
you.
And wise Hot Sauce Oracle. And thanks for the reading from Elle. All right, Elle, now having listened to the reading and refreshed, what did you think about this reading? And what do you think about this method of divination?
I think it's dope. I am a big proponent in divination and magic for people to do the thing that works the best for them. And also, there's 5 million tarot readers. So if you're going to do something different, I feel like that's great. I'm a fan. I think actually her reading is pretty much the same that I've gotten from everyone else, where it's kind of like, yeah, go for that. Feels a little weird. There's something a little weird about it. But I think anytime you're like talking about an agent or a manager or someone who's going to like intervene in your business, shit can get really weird if you're not really careful. So I feel like that's pretty, it's pretty consistent. It's good. I liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you consider doing hot sauce readings for your clients?
Yeah, if people wanted it. I mean, I do all sorts of weird readings.
On this show, especially.
Yeah, like I'll do pretty much like whatever people want. It's like, yeah, I guess people show up all the time and they're like, I don't want that. I want this. I don't want that. I want this. Don't use tarot. Use Oracle. Don't do any of that. Just talk to your guides. I'm like, okay, it's your time. You're paying me for my time. I'm just here with you. So, yeah, I think it's dope. I like it.
Do you think that the people who wrote these hot sauce packet aphorisms, do you think that they know that they're used for magic? Or do you think that they intended them to be used for magic?
Oh, no one ever intends anything to be used for magic, but humans,
I mean,
have a constant thirst for knowledge. But I mean, like, okay.
Deep down, I guess their intention was to give us something that would help us all live mas.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think about fortune cookies. Like, sometimes people just want a fortune cookie because it says something. You know the little Dove chocolates that say the, that have like a saying on the inside of the wrapper? Mm-hmm. Or like Jones sodas that when you take them off, they say something under the lid. People want that, like, one step further of something that might mean maybe for me. And there's like, I don't know, this constant seeking of like asserting some sort of control in the chaos that we have. And you know what? That's a really good way to sell things, to make people think something is for them. So I don't know that they ever intended it, but they definitely intended people to want them, to have something to do with it, to be something fun. And that oftentimes is divination for humans. So I don't know.
Yeah, definitely check out the Hot Sauce Oracle and support the work.
Yeah, for sure. She is doing
both the glass work, which is really cool. You should check it out.
Yeah.
And the hot sauce magic.
I think you can get readings from her, right?
I
think you can tip her.
She went on a hiatus. You've got to give her enough money to buy Taco Bell, pretty sure.
Yeah.
Is like the minimum like requested fee.
Do that, though. That's cheaper than my readings.
You just Venmo like, her yeah, Taco we'll Bell Venmo money. Her
Taco Bell money.
Taco Bell and beer money. But yeah, you know, she was on hiatus for a while because people are getting weird.
Yeah.
And I know you know all about that, Elle, when people get weird.
I have no idea. I've never experienced weird people at all in my profession.
Yeah.
At all.
Oh my gosh, there was that guy.
Do you know what I mean? RJ was like, I'm going to get you to say, yeah, I had a guy who bought like a $10 reading and he sent me, which is fine. Like, that's not a judgment on the amount that he spent, but just like a smaller reading. And he sent me 20 messages within probably the first hour. And then I don't respond to my Etsy messages, like generally, unless it's like about a follow-up or if I'm like answering a question about an order. But like people message me information about their reading, which I don't need to have when I'm having lunch with a friend or like when I wake up in the morning. I don't need to look at people's order notes. So I don't read them until I do my readings. And this guy then, like, the next day sent me several messages, like, apologizing. And he was like, I'm sorry for swearing. And I still didn't respond because I'm still not doing his reading.
And these were weird messages.
Yeah, it was very, like, concerned about, like, getting arrested. He was like, I don't have a criminal record yet. Which, like, probably don't message random psychics 20 messages after buying a reading and then tell me that you haven't acquired a criminal record yet, because that sounds almost like a threat in a way.
Yeah, it's just weird. And it was just a lot of, like, weird, over-the-top
self-hatred. I always hurt people and I don't even care about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot. And I just, like, kind of... Like, a few days later, then he sent me another message that was like, please help me. And I was like, hey, you probably don't need a psychic for this. And, like, certainly not a psychic that takes, like, 8 days, you know, to do readings. And, like, obviously you're needing a lot. Anyway, he told me to go fuck myself, basically.
Yeah, well, I mean, you did do the right thing and recommend him to, like, therapy and help.
Yeah, I was like, can I help you get set up with, like, a crisis line? Have you talked to a doctor? Like, I'm happy to help you on the spiritual side of things, but what you're needing is... far above and beyond what I do here. And he was like, I don't want your help. I was like, cool.
Okay. Here's your $10 back.
Yeah, like I canceled and refunded the order and like sent him another message that was like, hey, I just wanted to make sure that you got the help that you needed. And he was like, I would appreciate it if you just let me handle this on my own. I was like, okay, dope. Anyway, yeah, people get fucking weird and you have to have really strong boundaries and be like, this is inappropriate. You have to.
Ugh, I'm so full
of You're so full of bread. He's like suffering. Like, I'm watching him. He's just like,
it's just all the yeast is making me burp. Oh, geez. Hit us up on Patreon and Elle will do a reading for you on the show using whatever divination method we're covering. Patreon.com/Mancy. Also, if you like the show, please share with your friends. The more support we have, the more episodes we can make. If you like my writing, you can pick up books at rjwalkerpoet.com.
If you wanted to get a reading from me, you can find me on Etsy at Laurels of Lux. My email is laurelsoflux@gmail.com. My website is Laurels of Lux. Y'all have been getting readings lately, and like I really deeply appreciate that. People were really excited about the Tulpomancy episode and like chatting with my spirit guide. So I think maybe we're going to dig into that on another episode that maybe I'm going to write.
Yeah, and... I'm on TikTok, Mancy Podcast.
RJ's like, and, please buy my books and shit,
and
though.
And Instagram is
Mancy Pod.
At Mancy Pod.
Yeah, and our Instagram, just a reminder, I don't think that people realize that we do photo dumps for pretty much every episode. We had, like, one of our friends slash listeners was like, ectoplasm is real. And I was like, go fucking look at the Instagram and the cheesecloth shit. So a lot of that stuff we have posted for you guys. So please look at the Instagram so you can look at the pictures of the wild shit.
You can
shit
see the picture of our apple crisp.
Yeah, I'm going to post the apple crisp. And we had...
Oh, I should have taken a picture of that bread before I ate it, huh?
Fuck.
Oh, well.
God damn it.
Also, like, I need to, like, get my life together. So we might be taking just a little bitty break before the next episode. But I'm thinking we're either going to do chronomancy or alieromancy, which is cat magic.
Yeah. Kitty cat now.
The music was provided by, in order of appearance, Hayden Fulker, Miyu, and Scott Buckley.